Do it.
Hi, I'm Church.
And I'm Taboo.
And we are the Dark Souls 2.
And welcome to the Dark Souls 2, where this episode, See How That's Done, we're talking about the Grave of Saints and the Upper Gutter.
Yeah, you've got to stop interrupting yourself to talk to me. You start a sentence, right? Get to the end of it, and then you can start talking to a new person.
Just parentheses.
All over the place. Well, then you've got to say, open parentheses, and then say the thing, and then say close parentheses, so I know what's going on.
Okay.
Good.
Open parentheses, shut the fuck up, close parentheses.
That doesn't need to be parenthetically inserted, you can just say that.
You're parenthetic.
Oh my god. That was a slow descent into mediocrity, I gotta say.
Well, we're mediocre now, may as well do the rest of the podcast.
So what are we talking about again?
Grave of Saints and Upper Gutter.
Upper Gutter.
The Upper Gutter. Wait, we're not. We're doing the whole gutter. Yep. Shit. I fucked it up.
You did fuck it up.
Oh, no.
It wasn't a slow descent at all. The mediocrity began at the beginning. Oh, God.
No. All right.
So, the whole gutter.
Well, no, see, I'm going to blame it on you.
Leave it the way it is. Blame it on me.
Yeah, well, you wrote the notes.
I wrote half the notes.
Yeah, you wrote the upper gutter and then realized it wasn't long enough, and so we covered the whole gutter.
If either of us ought to know we're not doing just the upper gutter, it's you, because I wrote up to the upper gutter.
But you should have changed it on the notes to say we're doing the whole gutter now.
You wrote the second half of the notes. You should have changed
it. Community talk.
Yeah, well, I suppose first thing is those iTunes reviews. We had Taboo just sends me this really excited Gmail chat one night a while ago, like, oh my God, you've got to check this out. And, you know, he gets excitable sometimes when he hasn't had his pills, so I didn't know what was going on. Yeah. But, yeah.
Somebody had a ball. You had a ball? Where's a ball? Give me a ball. Give me a ball. Oh, a ball.
He particularly likes the shiny balls. He had found... could have made a joke about you liking balls, but whatever. He had found 61 iTunes reviews.
The iTunes, fucking Apple, decided were never important enough to let us know about.
Yeah, we didn't know they existed, and they're all amazingly positive. And some of them are from people that we know. Like, I noticed Gowan in there, and the BG people that rock up on the Twitch stream pretty regularly.
Yeah, So, I mean, we asked you guys like a number of episodes ago to help us out and make some iTunes reviews, and you know, I thought you had because I went on to iTunes, and sure enough, there's 11 reviews. And then I go on to some other podcast aggregating website that obviously archives this type of stuff, and it has 60 reviews on there that were all from iTunes that iTunes don't decide to show me. What that's about, I don't know.
It's ridiculous. But hey,
thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome. So well, while we're at it, keep doing things like that. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, it's good to get some publicity. So yeah, thanks guys. I think that's awesome.
On that note, Corian, the guy that left a review asking for a signed autograph from both of us. I'll see what we can do. Get in touch with us, Corian.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I did.
Was that on that one of the 61?
Yeah. Corian said he wants a signed autograph from both of us.
Oh.
It's completely useless, but fuck it, he asked.
It's a bit wanky. but my signature's so messy, it's different every time I do it.
It just means that, you know, one of kind.
Yeah. So, and also, Marty got onto us. Marty was talking about our discussion last time we recorded about the Crescent Axe, and there's some words in the description about a residual blessing that has kind of faded. We didn't pick up on this.
Yeah, we spoke about it last week. The item description was something to that effect, you know, that it had some power that's no longer there. And we're like, well, we don't know what that's about. And Marty obviously had an idea.
Yeah, I mean, well, Marty picked it up. And it's actually, I think he's quite correct. And it's so obvious. I don't know how he didn't see it. But the Crescent Axe in Dark Souls 1 had a really strong faith scaling. So if you were a faith build, it was a really good weapon. But this time there's no faith scaling. So it's just a reference Marty thinks, and we agree to that.
Yeah.
Good on you, Marty.
So, announcements and PSAs?
Yeah, well, the second DLC's out.
Yeah, and I found some awesome things about the DLCs that I didn't realise. Firstly, if you haven't bought the DLCs, each of the DLCs have a sort of waiting area or a room that you sort of teleport into, which is in front of a big door that you can't enter without an item. And the item you get from buying the DLC, once you get the item, you can unlock the door and go into the DLC area. If you haven't bought the DLC, you can still go into that waiting area. And apparently, if you lay a white soapstone sign down in that waiting area, the white soapstone sign will actually appear in the DLC for the people that are playing in the DLC, and they can summon you into their game and you can play the DLC even though you don't have it.
Isn't that awesome? Cool? I love it.
That was not planned.
What the fuck? That was really weird. That was like a mind meld. But, you know, that is a killer feature. I love it.
Yeah. And on top of this, they've made some use of that faded rock on the Majula obelisk, which is faded beyond recognition. It's an obelisk. Why'd you laugh? Fuck you.
It's an obelisk. Obelisk.
Asterisk and obelisk?
No, not obelisk. Obelisk. Yeah.
Fuck.
It's O-B-E-L-I-S-K. Obelisk. Obelisk.
All right, let's read it.
No, leave it.
No, nah, fuck it.
No, leave it.
I can't know I'm that dumb.
What about Zeus, god of Thor? They're still talking about it.
The amount of reviews that mentioned it. Oh, God.
Just leave it. Obelisk. It's fine. You got to own it.
So the Majula obelisk.
Do you mean obelisk?
No, I'm not that dumb. What's wrong with you? Serious? It's spelled O-B-E-L-I-S-K, you idiot.
Oh, yeah, I'm just so stupid.
So the faded carving in the stone on the obelisk in Majula, it has a purpose now. It tells you where to go to get to the next DLC.
Mm, it's not just for Portuguese people anymore.
Yeah. So that's cool as well.
Yeah.
Everyone's been wondering what that could be used for. Either they decide to use it for that after the fact, or
yeah,
that
I kind
was
of feel
their
like
intent all along.
It was always the plan, don't you reckon?
So yeah, either way, get into it. The Crown of the Old Iron King. Check it out. If you've got the DLCs by now, then I'm sure you already have. So, Grave of Saints.
Yeah, the Grave of Saints.
What can you tell me about the Grave of Saints?
That's where the dead saints are. The Grave of Saints is down the deep pit in Majula. Mm-hmm. It's actually an optional area. And if you have the Silver Cat ring and enough health, you can actually just continue past it straight down into the gutter.
So, yeah, there's platforms if you look down the big hole in Majula. And you can either buy the different length ladders from Gilligan, or you can use a item to arrest your falls. There's a number of them. You can get the Jester's Pants or the, as you said, the Silver Cat ring, or use fall control spell, what have you. But if you don't want to waste all that money with Gilligan, you could probably save the money, and it's definitely, in my opinion, worth spending it on the Silver Cat ring before buying the ladders with Gilligan, because you can hit all the levels that you can hit with the ladders with the Silver Cat ring, and you have the Silver Cat ring, which can come in handy for later areas. So it just seems like the more sensible thing to do, in my opinion.
It's definitely the most economically responsible.
Mm-hmm. And we're all about financial responsibilities on this podcast.
Absolutely.
And once you get to some of the lower platforms, you can drop all the way past the main entrance to the Grave of Saints and just, yeah, go to a lower entrance to a area after the Grave of Saints. Again, just like the Doors of Pharos, these sorts of areas, because the Grave of Saints has the same sort of rat covenant and the whole being pulled into other people's worlds due to that invasion system that comes with being in the rat covenant. And yeah, obviously they decided to make those areas optional for some reason. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I don't know. But there's something they have in common, isn't it? They've got the covenant going on. Both got heaps of rats. Both got heaps of water, underground, dingy, gross area.
Yep.
With Pharos lockstones everywhere. And they're both totally optional.
Yeah. So, weird. But either way, we recommend going through it. That's what we're going to do now.
So, the entire area down the pit is a bit gross. In fact, the description says, past kingdoms once disposed of their failed experiments and unwanted souls down the pit, casting them to the lightless pit to be forgotten. So it's a big trash can.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's just where people put things that they didn't want. And we'll come across a number of things that I don't want in my life down there as well, namely the gutter.
Oh, I hate that level.
Which we'll be covering in a little bit. So, as we said, you've got to start your descent down into the pit. Mm-hmm. We're going to go into the first entry. Is there a few things you can pick up along the way dropping into the pit?
Actually, yeah, there's a couple of things you can get. It's quite interesting. There's a radiant life gem that you can actually see from the top, but that's by the by. Halfway down, you'll notice there's a ladder installed in the wall from one of the wooden platforms around the edge. Climbing up that leads to a locked door that we can't open just yet. But when you have the Forgotten Key, which you'll get later on, you can go inside and pick up some really unique items.
Yeah, so the Forgotten Key we're going to get actually next episode. But this key actually unlocks quite a few mysterious doors around mm-hmm. the place. So we'll cover them, I guess, when we pick it up next episode. But just remember, if you get that Forgotten Key, come back to this place. What you're going to get when you go inside, or what you're going to see, is three chests.
Yep, so the first of the chests contains the spell Soul Vortex.
Haven't we talked about Soul Vortex?
We have. We got it in Lower Brightstone Cove, Zeldora. There's also a Miracle, the Miracle Great Lightning Spear, which is an upgraded version of Lightning Spear. You can buy it, actually, from Strait of Alaphus.
Yeah, now, I got to admit, this is the first time I've actually realized that this little area is here. I found out when helping write the notes today, and I am now going to nearly immediately go to get it, because I'm currently rolling a new character, which is based on Faith, and I've been using just the normal Lightning Spear, so it's so good to know that I can pick this one up for free once I get that key.
Exactly, yeah. And it's decent. I really like the Lightning Spears. You need 42 faith to wield it, but once you've got that faith, it's like, it's chiller. Yeah, I love it. Now, the other chest, the middle chest, contains two items, which are really, really interesting. The Witch Tree Bellvine and the Witch Tree Branch. Both of them make reference in the item description to a witch tree, as if that's a thing. In fact, the Witch Tree Branch's item description says, branch of a forest-wandering witch tree, which makes it sound like the tree
wanders
about. So what's a witch tree?
I don't know. Maybe we should ask our listeners.
It's interesting, actually. There is a real tree called a witch tree. In Minnesota, there's a particular type of tree. So nothing special about it, but there is a tree called a witch tree.
Why is that interesting, Church?
Because it's a real type of tree. It doesn't go anywhere, though. So the witch tree bellvine is a chime, and the witch tree branch is a staff. The witch tree branch apparently has the highest casting speed.
Which is nice.
Yeah. And the witch tree bellvine is really interesting. The item description says, witch tree bellvine that sprouts amongst old growth, catalyst for miracles and hexes. Clerics who were ostracized devised this as an alternative catalyst for casting miracles.
Mm.
Most clerics who were stripped of their status are good for nothings, but among them are powerful spellcasters who represented real threats to the establishment. Although not a proper catalyst, the bellvine is quite powerful.
Cool.
So how interesting is that?
Yeah. So it kind of talks to how the... talks to how clerics, some of them are actually quite scandalous, and they actually aren't liked too much by the establishments, which sort of fits with a lot of the clerics we meet in the Dark Souls games.
Yeah, actually, it's a good point. That Lycia of Lindell, she's not, she's a bit of a...
scallywag?
Yeah, she's scandalous.
Fuck no. Anyway, moving along.
But also, I think other interesting thing as well is that Vendrick wasn't a big fan of clerics. It's said again and again and again, in Drangleic, clerics were just kept about for ceremonial purposes and were just kind of a nod to tradition. So maybe it was quite common for him to chuck out any clerics that got a bit uppity.
Yeah, maybe that's why it's down the pit.
Yeah, just ditch the clerics down there.
Hmm. So you can also find it a couple of other items down the pit. Again, it's just a bit messy to describe exactly how to get to them, but you'll see them glowing. You just figure out how to make the drops or jumps. It's a pain in the ass, but just do it.
Yeah, the entire thing, from the top to the bottom of the pit, the levels are confusing and you have to double back and you drop off shit. This is the most difficult area to explain.
Yep.
By far.
Yep. So, especially so when we get to the gutter. So
yeah, this is why we collaborated on the notes.
I think, don't get me started on that. So we've been saying for a few weeks now that Church has been writing the notes. I should amend that statement and say Betty's been writing the notes with Church's assistance.
No, I...
but Betty actually writes them this week. Oh, I sat and helped Church write the notes and he got a little bit drunk and wrote the notes himself. And for fuck's sake, the amount of shit in here.
No, because the thing is, normally what happens is I just dictate the notes and Betty types them because she's a typist by profession. But also it's like easier for me to be doing the research and saying things.
Sure.
Maybe half the time Betty writes down what I say.
Betty's actually our notes writer. She's great at her job. You, on the other hand. I mean, no, what the fuck? We get to a bonfire later. And you have, don't cross the streams.
No.
What the fuck does that mean?
You can't. That's for our internal consumption, you idiot. It's because I have jokes planned, you know? It's humour. I wouldn't expect you to understand. It's my artistic vision.
So, pick up some poison moss down the pit, which is going to come in handy for the next area, the gutter. And you can also pick up the Ring of Evil Eye, or Ring of the Evil Eye, plus one. And this is a cool ring. It gives you a bit of HP every time you kill an enemy.
30 HP, I think, right?
Well, with the plus one, you get 50.
Oh.
So, the 30 comes from the regular ring, which you can buy from Xiao Hua. And we're also going to pick up in about half an hour's time when we cover the gutter. And I don't know why. We just picked up the better one here. Why would they include the weaker one?
The shitter one
literally
later.
Like, you know, a few minutes walk away.
Well, maybe it's this. Maybe it's because the better ones are a little bit heavier. And the reason I say that is because I remember when you went to Gavan and you were selling all your doubles of rings. And it's like the, you know, the the Ring of the Evil Eye weighs like 0.3 and the Ring of the Evil Eye plus one weighs 0.5. And you were like, what if my equipment load? Maybe I shouldn't. 0.2 of a
It's important, okay? Unit.
It's bullshit.
It all adds up.
It's bullshit. Just fucking sell it.
Okay. So, shall we enter into
the Grave of Saints?
We should.
Why is it called the Grave of Saints?
Well, I have a theory about that.
Okay, let's hear it.
So, we're going to come across a few enormous skeletons in coffins in a few places in this area. And I've noticed that they're all sort of shackled to their coffins, which is a bit odd in itself. But the skeletons are giant in nature, but they don't look like the actual giants that you come across in this game. They don't have the big O face, and they actually look like normal human skeletons that are just large. So, it's called the Grave of Saints, and we know that the large humanoid creatures from the previous game were all the gods. Guinevere, Gwyn, Gwyndolin, they were all quite large in nature. And so I'm wondering if this is like saints is just another word that they use to describe their holy people, their gods and that kind of stuff. And I wonder if these are the gods sort of this area and this is where they were buried. And they may have been shackled down. You mentioned that Vendrick, you're the one that sort of got me thinking down this path, because you mentioned that Vendrick is and Nashandra are large humanoid-shaped creatures from this area, which would have skeletons that look similar. And I'm thinking, well, Vendrick used the pit to discard things that they didn't want. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the saints started to turn undead or something, or when they died, they wanted to shackle them to their coffins to make sure that when they did turn undead, they weren't like a bigger threat, because you would imagine a god or a saint would have more power than just a normal being. And maybe they were fearful of what these people or these creatures could become once they turned undead.
I don't think it's a terrible theory. I think that makes sense. I actually kind of think there's a reason why Vendrick's bigger than everyone else, right?
His ego?
No, well, if that were the case, then I'd be huge.
It's true.
We know that, and this is some deep and detailed shit, but we know that what happened was Nashandra came along and convinced Vendrick that he ought to go across the sea and get something from the giants. So he did that and came back powerful as all hell because he had this thing from the giants, right?
Mm-hmm.
I suspect might be souls of a giant, but who knows? And also now Vendrick is huge. So maybe the same thing that makes the giants huge made Vendrick huge and Nashandra huge. She got something out of the deal as well.
Mm.
Yeah, so I actually think that's why Vendrick is so big. It's because of what he did with the giants. And the giants eventually came to Drang Lake to get it back. And that's why there was a big war and it was a bad time for the Drang Lakeians. But
maybe.
Yeah. And so then they talk also in the description of the area, past kingdoms once disposed of their failed experiments.
Yes, Aldian experiments, many of them.
Why? How do you know they're Aldian experiments?
Because of a few of the enemies that we'll come across were definitely described as being Aldian.
Such as?
The hunter dogs.
Oh.
But that's not to say that the other people weren't using the pit to dispose of all kinds of things.
Well, we know also that Aldia was very likely in possession of a soul of a giant.
It all fits together.
Yeah, so I kind of feel like maybe...
You might be hitting on it, because I think there's still huge debate amongst the community as to what Vendrick took from the giants.
Mm.
So maybe you've got to the bottom of it.
Well,
here and now on the podcast, episode 17. You heard it first.
I think that's got something to do with it. I think that the reason Vendrick's so big is because of his interaction with the giants. And I think that there's a possibility that while he was building golems and Aldia was trying to combine animals and... Well, Aldia was making a whole bunch of new weird shit and Duke Zeldora was combining animals with people and all kinds of creepy stuff, that maybe Vendrick was also experimenting with making giant people, or those were his giant relatives or something.
Sure. Cool. I like it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just speculation. Just thinking.
Come on. You got to keep that confidence up, otherwise no one will go for it. Okay. So, when you get to the level with the entry into the Grave of Saints, you will go through a slight corridor. You'll come across a few just undead.
Sleepy Hollows.
Sleepy Hollows, as you describe them, because they're just sitting there resting. They only wake up when you start bothering them. And you enter into a sort of circular room with what you called a fountain in the middle. It kind of looks like, I guess, a fountain of sorts.
I think it's fountainy.
But you can't enter into that area at the moment.
It's you can't get into the middle. There's like an item in there, but you can't get it just yet.
Knee-high ledges and all that. So go around the fountain dealing with a few rats. Nothing new here. We've talked about rats before. They're the same rats that you encounter in Doors of Pharos. And as you exit the area, you'll go down another corridor.
Yes, so you'll go up a small staircase and you'll notice a Pharos contraption on the ground. What you want to do is turn left immediately, and you'll notice another Sleepy Hollow and a corpse on a ledge with some small, smooth, and silky stones. head back to that Pharos contraption and you can use a Pharos Lockstone. It's actually the only useful Pharos contraption in the area, unless you're in the Rat King Covenant.
Yeah, so most of the other Pharos contraptions will be used just like Doors of Pharos to make the area more difficult to the people that you pull into your world while in the Covenant. Whereas this one serves the purpose of dropping a bridge, which will take you across to an adjacent area that you couldn't otherwise get to.
Yeah, so it's interesting, actually. Unless you're in the Rat King Covenant, just like Doors of Pharos, most of the Pharos contraptions are useless. They're there to make life harder for those that are victims of those Rat King Covenant members.
Correct.
There's a really interesting thing that you showed me that made me absolutely flip a shit, right?
So you called it the best Easter egg in the game.
Yeah. So if you notice, some of the Pharos' contraptions are by statues of rats, and if you use the Pharos Lockstone in the contraption, it makes the rats spew out this sludge that is corrosive to your equipment. Yep. And floating in the sludge is a label from a Heineken bottle. How cool is that?
In the texture, if you get your binoculars out and look at it closely, the texture just sort of floats by slowly in this green, noxious, sort of sludgy grossness. And yeah, if you look closely, I think it's actually like a can that's sort of been flattened or stomped on, and you can just see H-E-I-N-E, and that's about it. But you can absolutely tell it's a Heineken can. It's green in nature. Green. And yeah.
How cool is that? That I just vomited in my mouth a little bit. That makes me really excited.
Righto. You seem to think it's intentional. I wonder. Nah. I think it's more likely they probably just pulled an asset online or bought a stock image.
They're not just going to buy some stock bloody texture for their corrosive shit and it happens to have a Heineken thing in it. And the only recognizable item in the whole thing is a Heineken can. That's not going to be it. It's definitely, they put it in there deliberately because they're piss tanks or something.
Nah, it's corporate advertising. Heineken probably paid big bucks for that. Okay.
So, the Pharos contraption we talked about using will lower a bridge to a large room. So, you should go across the bridge and you'll end up in a circular room with some petrified rats and some live rats. There's a couple of items around the place, but the interesting one is up the stairs. It's a hex called Whisper of Despair.
Yeah, now this hex is actually a debuff, so you use this on other enemies, and what it does is it lowers their defense. I suppose it could be useful in PvE, but it rarely comes into place in PvP when you're coming across, you know, your Havel butt faces and all that kind of stuff that have just crazy high stats, and you just want to get them down to a more manageable level.
Despair.
You're weird.
No, that's what it is, Whisper of Despair.
So the item description, a hex that releases verbose darkness. Stop that. The darkness echoes words of despair.
Despair.
Reducing the defense of opponents. The dark blankets the world in black, a thing of tranquility, a thing serene.
That's a common theme in this game. Now, I've come to realize this, that darkness, right, is a substitute for death because there's no death anymore. All right, so that's why the reverence of darkness. And we'll talk about this later when we get to the Shrine of Amana. But there's some shit going on with that, I tell you now.
Cool. I don't disagree. Stop looking at me like that.
Despair.
So, from this level where you pick up the Whisper of Despair. Fuck you. There is another bridge that can be lowered from the other side, but it's kind of pointless because it just costs another Pharos Lockstone, so you may as well just go back across the bridge you've already lowered.
We're going to get around the other side anyway.
Yep. Turn left at the end of the bridge and continue up the corridor. Now, you'll come across a ladder on the right, which you can go up to the second level of the Grave Saints. Now, this is where you might have an encounter with Roy the Explorer. He'll only invade if you're not a member of the Rat King Covenant and if you're offline. Now, you pointed out an interesting thing with this guy.
Pointed out a lot of interesting things with Roy the Explorer.
One.
No, many.
Go on.
Well, for one thing, even though he's a scripted invasion, he follows normal respawn rules. So if you go to the bonfire and come back, he will return again and again and again, like any normal enemy.
15 times, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
And aside from that, he drops ore stones when you do kill him, which is useful if you're a part of the Company of Champions.
Absolutely. So you can farm him for ore stones. Also good to farm for Way of the Blue, you know, because you're defeating a
Red Phantom?
Red Phantom.
Cool.
So that's nice. See? A couple of cool things so far. But then you talk about what armor he wears. So he wears the Aurus's set.
Transparent Aurus set.
And that's parenthetically inserted. So let me start again, right? The Aurus's set, open parentheses, transparent, close parentheses.
Well, okay.
That's how it's done, all right?
Sure.
Yeah, so there are actually two Aurus's sets. There's a transparent version and a non-transparent version. The non-transparent version you can get in New Game Plus as a rare drop from a Dark Spirit. But this set that Roy wears, you can actually get from Maulin the Armorer back in Majula. You know, the really down in the dumps dude that eventually becomes full of himself when you spend money with him. You spent 16,000 souls with him, but then you come back with zero souls banked, just none at all.
Yep.
He takes pity on you and he gives you this amazing transparent set of armor. So it looks like you're naked, and actually it increases your equipment load.
Yeah, so just to touch on that again, you've got to spend 16,000 souls with Maulin, which sort of raises his spirits and he starts acting a bit cocky. What you want to do is kill yourself until you've got no souls in your inventory and go and talk to him, and he'll give you that set. So really cool. Free armor set has a cool effect of raising your items...
equipment load.
Your equipment load.
And that scales with vitality.
Yep.
So the more vitality you got, the more increase you get in your equipment load. So that's pretty decent. And it's a piece of armor with a really good defense to weight ratio. Roy also has two really interesting rings. The Illusory Ring of the Exalted and the Illusory Ring of the Conqueror, which you can actually get from doing a no bonfire or no death run.
Yeah, so these are those special rings which must be some of the rarest items in the game.
Absolutely.
But what they do is, they make the weapon that you have in your left and or right hand invisible, depending on which ring you're wearing. He's obviously got both, so it must be pretty badass.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Roy.
Yeah.
A few interesting things about him.
Yeah, so you can't see his weapons.
Betty picked up on it, you didn't.
What?
A few interesting things about him.
Oh, yeah, see? I wrote them all down.
So where do we go from Roy, Church?
So turn left. Ignore all the Pharos contraptions all over the place, and you'll end up in a tomb where you'll find some homeward bones on a corpse, and you'll be able to look at some of those skellies that we're talking about that are shackled into their graves. So go back the opposite direction, and you'll find the grave entrance bonfire and a mist door which leads to the boss fight with the Royal Rat Vanguard.
Yeah, so super small area.
It is tiny, and... Another similarity it has with the Doors of Pharos is there's a mist door right next to a bonfire. You don't see that very often.
Yeah, it's handy.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, Royal Rat Vanguard.
Yeah, so do you know what a Vanguard is, Church?
The, foremost part of an advancing army or naval force, so the shock troops at the front of a military formation, particularly in medieval kind of military tactics, you have this group at the front that are the most, you know, the bravest and the strongest and the...
Yeah, it's kind of a position of pride.
The most exactly, the kind of most favoured of the king that get to go and be the advanced troops. And actually, you'd think that really those are the guys that are going to get killed first.
Yeah, they've got a word for them nowadays, they're called grunts.
But, there was some kind of position of, like you say, pride back in the day to be in the Vanguard, or also called the Van. It's true. It's called the Van. So this is what's interesting. The Vanguard is supposed to be at the front of the army, right? And it's called the Grave Entrance Bonfire. So, and obviously you wouldn't plan an area that involves an entrance you have to jump down a pit to get into. So clearly this is the front of the Grave of Saints.
Mm, makes sense. So, what happens is you'll enter into the Foggate and you'll immediately start getting attacked by rats as they emerge out of these little burrows in the wall. And they'll continue to just flow out of those burrows. Eventually, the room will just fill up with a number of them, about 10 or so at any one time. And you'll sit there and they'll start swarming around you, and they can be quite a pain in the ass because there's a number of them. But after some time, eventually... an actual boss health bar will show up down the bottom.
Do you have to kill a certain number of them to make the boss health bar appear?
I don't believe so. I think it's just timed.
Oh.
And until that health bar shows up, you can't complete this fight. So you'll sit there and start killing rats and you'll be thinking, what the frack am I doing? They just keep appearing. But nonetheless, once the Vanguard does show up, he is a rat of a similar size. I think just an eensy bit larger. And about the only other way you can distinguish him is he's got a sort of mohawk going down his back.
Yeah.
Or a ridge. So focusing all of your attacks on the Vanguard and defeating the Vanguard will cause all the other rats to leave you alone, go into their burrows, and you're done with the fight. But if you don't know which one the Vanguard is, you can just sit there swinging away and they'll keep appearing and it'll just be a mess until they eventually swarm you.
It's the only real difficulty of this area, isn't it? That he can hide among his peers. Yeah. But they're also very easy to hurt, I find. You run through them and they all attack you in a line. Especially if you have a spear weapon, you stab them all.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah. And you can sort of hide in a corner, wait for them to all come to you in the corner, and then run to the other corner, heal up. You know, they're not terribly quick. Now, you mentioned that they're fairly easy. Now, one of the easier methods that I found of taking them out was to use black firebombs as well. So load up on black firebombs, and each firebomb will take out a rat by itself. So it's sort of like a one-hit kind of a kill if you haven't got, you know, a fully leveled up weapon that can do that at the moment.
Yeah, and also I find area of effect stuff is quite effective.
Yeah, seeing as there's lots of them, can be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Royal Rat Vanguard, upon dying, drops two things. The Royal Rat Vanguard Soul, which you can do a straight trade to get the Pyromancy Toxic Mist.
Yep.
Which is a poison attack. It's actually does a bit more base damage than a normal poison attack and also comes on more quickly.
So there's actually another hex that you'll come across a bit later in the gutter, which is similar. It does even more poison damage and comes on even quicker, as you wrote in the notes. It comes on quickly. You know all about coming quickly, don't you, Church?
Oh, ha, ha, ha. It's just because you're so attractive.
Betty. Please, say Betty. Okay. So once you're done with the Rat King Vanguard, is that what it's called? So once you're done with the Royal Rat Vanguard, it'll open up a fog door at the other end of the arena, and you'll come across the Rat King. And with that rat tail that you picked up earlier from the Vanguard, you can use it to enter into the Covenant if you'd like to, if you didn't do it in the Doors of Pharos.
Yeah, so it's exactly the same character and another opportunity to join the same Covenant. Past the Rat King, you'll find a hole in the ground, and before you drop down in there, you'll see the top half of the giant skeleton from before. It gives you a chance to get a good look at the skeletons, and they're just totally humanoid, it seems to me. Nothing...
No.
Yeah. Out of the way, except that they're huge.
Just giant.
So you drop down the hole, and you'll be in the middle of that fountain we're at before. You've got to be careful when you drop down not to fall all the way down, because part of the floor is crumbled away. You can grab a Pharos's Lockstone from there, and then you can start jumping down the hole.
And once you drop into the hole, you'll land on two sort of sarcophagus sticking out of the wall.
Sarcophagi. I think that's actually the plural of sarcophagus, is sarcophagi. It's not sarcophaguses. Isn't he that guy from Sesame Street?
Yeah, Snuffleupagus.
He's just a giant mummified elephant. Trunk falling off. He's a mastodon warrior.
I was trying to figure out what a sarcophagus was so that I could figure out what a guy that was a sarcophagus would be.
Oh, a sarcophagi.
Yeah.
You'd love to suck off a guy, wouldn't you?
Oh, damn. Jesus.
Suck off a guy.
So drop down the coffins.
Suck off a guy.
So to a bridge below.
Below.
It's just too good. It's just too good.
Oh, God. All right. Oh, far out.
Okay, so from this bridge, you can see an item sitting on this broken ledge sticking out of the wall in this circular room, and there doesn't appear to be any easy way of getting it. There's nothing above that you can fall from, and the bridge looks like it's too far away. I've never gotten this item until today, where I had a look at it and I realized, hold up, you can make the jump from the bridge. It just doesn't look like it.
Because there are two bridges, a stone bridge and a wood bridge below it.
Mm.
And the first time I played it, I thought I had to go down and try to jump across, but the best way to get it is to stand on the stone bridge and leap across. And it's a damn good item, so I think it's worth making the jump for. And if you fuck it up, then go back and do it again.
Yeah, and it is a hard jump to make. The ledge to land on isn't big, but you can do it. Now, definitely worth putting on the Silver Cat Ring at this point, because you are going to be making some drops, which you will lose a bit of health over. So having that at this moment will help.
Yep.
But the item you pick up?
The Disc Chime. which is awesome. I really like it. It's both a shield and a chime. If you make the chime work by going ding, 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 then surely every time you block an attack with the shield, it's a miracle this shoots off.
Sorry, pretty sure.
There's a nasal spray for that.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't come on so quickly.
So as a shield, it does 80% damage reduction. So not, you know, the best, but considering it's 2-in-1, it's not bad. Yeah. And it also increases miracle power by 3%. Again, not the best, but it helps.
Yeah. So doing a strong attack with the shield, so your L2,
mm-hmm.
will cast whatever miracle you have selected. It actually uses more stamina than a normal chime to cast the miracle, and that's because it's a strong attack, I think.
Yeah, more than likely. Now, obviously, you do trade that for the ability to parry. But, you know, small sacrifices.
Yeah, it depends what you're into. I'm not such a parrier, you know. You're more of a parrier than me.
I love parrying.
I've been parrying a bit in New Game Plus.
You've got to get into it. It's just so effective.
It is. It's amazing.
So from this ledge, it's kind of impossible to get back across to the wooden bridge below, and there's a couple of items that we want to grab along there. So at this point, it may be worth using a Homeward Bone to go back and get back to this place.
Yep. So get back to the stone bridge, and now you want to jump down to the wooden bridge. Now, bear in mind, there is a crystal lizard on the wooden bridge,
mm-hmm.
and if you startle him, he'll run away. When I was doing some research for this area, I read a little walkthrough that had obviously been written by somebody that had never seen a Dark Souls game before getting to this area, ever. Because what it said was, this is exactly what it said, word for word, fight the bug-like creature on the bridge, and you will get, and then it lists some Titanite, fight the bug-like creature. What? It's not a fight, right?
Known as a crystal lizard to anyone that's played any game.
Fight the bug-like creature.
Anyway.
What the fuck?
So pick up that Titanite that you'll get.
Yep.
And cross the wood bridge. You'll have to make a jump across a hole in it, and you'll come across a metal chest. And in said metal chest, you'll get the Ash Knuckle Ring,
which boosts petrification resistance. And interestingly, the item description says, Knuckle Ring worn by Roy the Explorer.
And if we're going by your notes, it then says, ooh.
No, I think I was interested in that. It makes
Why
me go.
Did you write that in the
makes
notes?
Makes me go, ooh. So I thought up, ooh.
Surely. No,
it was more like a, oh, because Roy was the guy who fought before.
Ooh.
No, oh. See, now you get it.
Okay. So drop down from here to a sort of watery, swampy kind of area below.
Mm.
And probably try to avoid the water because it will slow your movement and get to a slight little dry patch where you can move freely, because what's going to happen immediately is you'll start getting ambushed by red cord undead citizens. So these are the ones that flop down in front of you and cause an explosion.
Red cord?
You know all about flopping down in front of men and causing explosions. It's terrible.
You just really want to suck off a guy. So what's this red cord thing?
They have a red core.
Oh, red cord. I thought you meant like C-O-R-D, like what you plug your speakers into. You know what it reminds me of? Monty Python, right? You know that bit where the big, huge, fat dude is at the restaurant eating and eating and eating, and then they're like, after dinner, mint, sir? He's like, oh, no, I couldn't eat another bite. And they're like, go on, sir, just one little mint, and he eats it and explodes everywhere.
Yeah, sure. These guys don't look like they've eaten for a while, but that's exactly what it should remind you of.
From here, there are two exits. You'll notice one of them has a kind of foot of water at the bottom, and the other one is elevated a bit, so the water doesn't fill the tunnel. What you want to do first is go down the watery one.
Yep, and what you'll get if you go down that path is a miracle called Great Heal off a corpse. Now, this is the same as the normal heal, however, it does more health replenishment.
The description is interesting. It says, only a select few have learned to recite this epic romance in its entirety, but those who do are amply rewarded. So you've got to, like, recite a whole poem?
No. Nah.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, which makes me think of the Great Heal excerpt,
mm-hmm.
which is a page out of the Great Heal miracle.
Yeah.
It's described as being a page. So, yeah, maybe it is, as you said, like a long poem, and they've just excerpt a part of it to get some value, but it doesn't allow you to cast as many times.
Exactly. It does actually the same amount of healing as Great Heal, but doesn't have as many casts.
So from here, cross the watery patch to the other side and go down another corridor, and you'll eventually come across a ladder above a heap of wooden scaffolding.
Yeah, so this is where you start getting your Blighttown flashbacks.
Mm.
And you feel the hatred rising within you.
I don't want to go down to Blighttown.
I fucking hated Blighttown. I fucking hate the gutter. I just... It's not as bad as Blighttown, actually, I've got to say. Brighton frustrated me more. No, I just find this place really confusing. I did a twitchy thing a while ago. People watched me just flounder around. This is the one place I know the least. Anyway, let's move along from that.
Okay, so as you start going down the scaffolding, again, it's complicated. You're going to see glowing items. Just pick them up. We're not going to be able to describe it in words too well. But what you'll pick up off a chest is a token of spite, which we mentioned when we came across the Huntsman's Copse, that you'll pick up a token of fidelity there, which is good because it allows you to join the Way of the Blue Covenant without actually doing any co-op, because you need one of these tokens to join, and you normally could only get them through co-op. Same thing applies with the Token of Spite. You can pick it up here, which will allow you to join Brotherhood of Blood, because Tichy Gren requires one of these items to allow you to join, and it'll allow you to do that without actually invading someone, which is normally how you would get one.
Sure. So normally what you do is invade someone's world and kill them, and you get one of these automatically. You can also use it. It's a usable item. It increases your likelihood of being invaded. So if you're feeling adversarial, you can use one.
I'm surprised you're not using them all the time then.
Oh no, I'm a nice upstanding guy. I don't even kill the Hayde Knights. I don't.
You're always feeling adversarial.
I am, but the Hayde Knights aren't my enemies. They didn't do anything to me. I've got no beef with any Hayde Knights.
Okay. So, from here we head to the gutter. And again, following your notes, fuck my life.
Yeah, I hate the gutter. So, the gutter is a dark underground area where torches are essential.
Yeah, actually one of the only areas, even with the post-release lighting, that you actually need a torch if you want to see much.
Absolutely. Most places the torch is kind of this additional thing that means nothing. But in this area, having a torch is actually very valuable. There's a sludgy liquid I noticed running down a lot of the surfaces, like all the walls and some of the pillars. There's like this gross filth slipping down the walls.
Yeah, it fits with just being a trash receptacle for everyone that wants to get rid of things.
Yeah. There's also a lot of poison in the area, mostly some statues which shoot poison darts or little globs of poison at you that drive me absolutely nuts. Not so much in this area, but in the next area where they're just freaking everywhere.
Yeah, and the cool thing that I noticed was there's this constant sort of, sounds like kind of a heartbeat going on as you're in the area. And if you break all the statues in your immediate proximity, it disappears.
Yeah, the noise comes out of the statues.
Yeah, so it kind of suggests that, maybe Earthen Peak is pumping their poison into these statues and it's the pulse of the poison
coursing through them? Or are they somehow alive? Like, is there a soul in there or something? They've got a face.
I don't know.
So a vegan can't eat them.
Oh, God.
You know, Scott Pilgrim. I do not consume the flesh, nor the ova, nor the milk of any creature with a face. So what we want to do is we enter the area from a kind of cave out of that last area where the token of spite was in a chest. And you'll come out onto a little dirt ledge with some of those statues on it that are making that creepy ass heartbeat till you smash them. And they're relatively easy to break. The only thing that won't break them really is bolts and arrows. You need to throw a projectile, shoot a spell, or hit them with a weapon.
Oh, I didn't know about the bolts and arrows.
That's what I've heard. I don't really bolt and arrow things too much.
I know that sometimes normal wood bolts won't break things, but heavy bolts will. So
maybe that's it.
Worth testing.
So smash those, and before you'll see a wooden ramp, which looks like the kind of roof to a structure, and I think it probably is. So you want to jump down onto that.
Now, from this point on, things are going to get quite intricate and confusing.
This is where the entire thing gets really confusing. And you're not going to know if we're just making up all the instructions. Just go here, do that. There's a thing. Open the chest. Could all be bullshit. You never know. You're not going to go check. I wouldn't go and check. That's impossible. Just listen, all right? Just strap yourself in and just listen, because there's no way we're going to be able to properly articulate this to you.
There's no, you're in darkness. There's no, like, landmarks that you can refer to, really.
It's
like, there's a wooden structure on your left. There's a fucking wooden structure on your right as well.
Yeah. Now, from the ladder, which ladder? There's, like, 23 torch sconces to light. Like, it's just repetitive and convoluted. But anyway, enough complaining. So, you're going to fall through the floor onto the level with the upper gutter bonfire.
And behind the bonfire is a jar or an urn, which if you roll through, you'll get some dung pies. Now, dung pies are an item from the last game as well, and it's just, I don't know what the hell the deal is with these, but basically when you throw them at an enemy, it causes them to get poisoned, toxic from the last game, but poisoned in this game. And the deal, though, is with this item, if you're standing near where they hit, you'll also get poisoned.
Yeah, so it's like a bit of an AoE, almost.
But the description a large excrement, still rather warm. Ugh, just vomited a little in my mouth as well. Thrown at an enemy to cause rapid onset of poison, but you too will be subject to the same bane. Most warriors are loath to come near a thing like this, much less carry it around, but therein lies the advantage.
It's like, look at me, I'm so clever, I've got a pocket full of shit.
Yeah, no shit, and it's still warm. Like,
oh, I wouldn't touch that. Yeah, no, but that's my advantage. I got, ooh, look at this. I will touch it. Good so for you, mate.
The weird, dirty kid in the corner that nobody wants to go near.
Yeah, did you have one of those at your school? A kid that always had a pocket full of shit? One of them. Yeah. Or shitting in his own pockets, throwing it at people, going home with poison damage all the time. School nurse has to keep some green blossoms in her drawer just for him. Why is it called a dung pie? Why can't this be called a dung?
Yeah, it's not pies. It's
wrapped in pastry.
Anyway, so from the bonfire, you're going to head across a small wooden bridge, short one. And this time, be careful not to go too close to the middle of the floor that you're going to end up on. Off to the left, because you'll fall through it. And we'll come to that in a moment. But if you stick right, you're going to head across another small bridge. And this time you'll encounter a hunting dog.
Yeah, one of the Aldean experiments you mentioned earlier.
Yes, so that's exactly what these guys are. They were just one of those things that Aldea discarded and didn't have any time for.
And you will see some later in Aldea's keep. So, you know, kind of corroborates that story.
Mm.
Yeah. From there, you can head across a small bridge opposite the bridge that you took here. Like we said, there's a lot of bridges. Light the torch in the area. There's a torch there. Light it. There's also a torch by the bonfire that you should have lit. So now from here, you can turn right.
Talk about all the bloody torches that you want to light, are you?
Well, it's important to light them.
No.
So turn right, go up a rampy bridge, light a torch. There's some hollows that appear that it looks like they get woken up by the lighting of the torch, but they'll wake up anyway.
Yep, and from there, you'll see, like, this poison-spitting statue hanging from its neck by a rope, sort of.
Fucking right, that's where it belongs. I hate them.
Lynch them.
Yeah.
And you're sort of wondering why the hell it's hanging, but then you'll head up the ramp and realise you'll be right in its firing range, so that's what that's about.
There's also a torch there, light the torch.
Don't light the torch. We're not going to talk about the torch. There's so many torches. We had this debate last night, right, while writing the notes. Church wanted to include all the torches. I said, why? There's like 20 of them. And he said, no, there's only about 5. And I said, no, you're wrong. Too many. We're not going to point out every torch. Okay, and now you're going to try and freaking announce all of them.
No, it's just if there's one to light, it's worth saying, you better light it. You wouldn't want to miss any.
Yeah, you would.
So head up the ramp after smashing the stone statue. And from there, you can drop down into a dirt patch, light the torch, punch the statues. And you notice some... There's a torch. Some, you know, assholes will climb up the edge of the cliff face and attack you. You can actually shoot them from a distance. It seems any projectile will cause them to fall.
Yeah, I mean, like, what are they doing just hanging out there?
What is this shit?
Is it like just some endurance test between the two of them?
Or yeah, whoever hangs on longest lives, you know. Like, what is with that? That's like, God, I really hope someone comes by soon. We've been hanging here for months, you know. Oh, look, someone's here. Weird.
Okay, so either way, from here you're going to face the wall behind you, the rocky wall, and you're going to turn left and drop down onto another dirt patch.
Where you can light a torch.
And head along the dirt patch to a square wooden tower to find a ladder which you can climb up.
It's a massive climb. It's good for your legs. It is.
Maybe it's how those guys train to hang off the ledge of things.
Yeah. And when you get to the top, you can light the torch. So jump across to a dirt ledge, which you'll see on your left, with a chest on it. Open the chest and obtain the Ring of Soul Protection. Is this the first Ring of Soul Protection? It is. Sorry, there's only one Ring of Soul Protection, isn't there? I'm thinking of the Ring of Life Protection.
Yes. So the Ring of Soul Protection is slightly different. It does the same kind of thing. It protects you from hollowing if you die while wearing it.
Yep. And you get to keep your souls.
Yep. But also, if you get petrified, you won't take the effect when you die.
Hmm.
But the cool thing with these rings that people don't really point out is if you do die and drop a bloodstain, if you weren't wearing the ring, if you're concerned that you're going to die along the way to getting that bloodstain, you can wear the ring then. And if you die again, it won't get rid of the bloodstain.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So it's kind of like insurance. So
you don't even have to have the ring on in order to keep all your souls.
Yeah. So basically, like, why ever wear the ring? Just make sure that if you're going to die, you'll be able to get there within 2 deaths.
That's quite cool. Well, actually, ultimately, by the end of the game, you'll end up with 2 rings of life protection and a ring of soul protection.
Mm.
So you've got three layers of insurance, really.
Yeah.
You can just keep wearing them. It's 6,000 souls to repair, which is twice as much as the Ring of Life protection, but still quite cheap in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, so only worth wearing if you've got quite a few souls on the ground, or at least more than 6,000.
So head to the opposite end of that ledge from where the chest is and light the torch.
Now, doing so, you'll get close enough to an area that will cause Melinda the Butcher to spawn. Now, as with all butchers, Melinda's a female. This goes back to even Dark Souls 1, with all of the butchers being females in that game, even those big scary ones that don't look like it.
Now, Melinda the Butcher is a scripted NPC, a Red Phantom, who appears when you light the torch on the end. Before you is a lower dirt platform with a wooden structure on it, and you'll see it on the second story of that. She spawns up there.
So the reason she's down here, apparently, is because she's turned to preying on the lost and the weak. And basically, she's now a cannibal. She's using their meat to sustain herself.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why gross. She's a butcher.
I suppose she gets the best cuts. But have you seen those hollows? No, that's why the hollows are hanging off the edge. They were hiding.
Okay, so, but when she spawned into my game, I was terrified because I'm in this dark place. It's already horrifying. And it comes up on the screen, you know, Melinda the Butcher has invaded you. I'm thinking, shit. But I didn't see where she came in. So I didn't see her for a long, long time. I had to look around. It's so dark. You couldn't see her off in the distance. And so I'm like, do I stay here and wait for her to come to me or do I move on? So it was just this sort of foreboding presence there. I had to carry on because I just couldn't find her. But I knew at any moment she might just drop from the ceiling down on top of me. I had no idea where she
was. She glows bright red.
Yeah, but you're not watching your back all the time. What if she comes up while you're killing an undead?
I know what you mean. Yeah. It's quite scary. So anyway, from the ledge where the chest was, you should turn to your right and jump into an open doorway on a wooden structure. So there's a wooden structure in front of you. On the level below you, you can see an open doorway. It's actually quite an easy jump. Inside, you'll find a chest with some twinkling titanite and some small smooth and silky stones.
Mm-hmm. And from there, you jump back down to the ground where you'll find a ladder. And if you climb back up that, you'll get up to what you've called a chesty ledge.
Mm. It's also good for your glutes, climbing that ladder as well. It's an all-body workout. You should go on like late night TV and sell long ladders.
Ladders.
That, maybe Gilligan! That's Laddersmith Gilligan's racket. That's why I got into making ladders, so he could scam a bunch of old people into buying shit on off the TV.
He never offers me 2-for-1 deals, though.
You're right, and I suppose it's all really pricey.
Mm.
Makes sense. How did we get off on that tangent?
Because you're fucking on the podcast, that's how, you piece of shit. Sorry, it's like herding cats with you around.
Because you said to me in a text or something, you're making me herd sheep. And I thought, those are the easiest animals to herd. What's so hard about that? It was our
last podcast.
Was it? Oh, so you sent me in a text recently. Like yesterday.
Yeah. That was the joke. It was from our last podcast.
Did I pull you up on it?
Because there was four of us there and I kept trying to get us all together to record. And it was just a freaking nightmare. I was the only one trying to get it done.
Oh, you mean the last podcast we did, not like last
episode.
Right.
Our last podcasting endeavor before we were the Dark Souls 2. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fucking, you guys in a room is like herding sheep. And you just immediately latched onto that and gave me all hell.
Oh, I don't remember.
Fucking herding sheep's the easiest thing in the world. Thanks, man.
Well, it is easy. You just get a dog to do it for you. It's fine.
I think you said exactly that.
Anyway.
I'm wondering if we should put those back up on the internet.
No, don't do that.
Some of them were good.
Cringe fest. Just do that. Just do a highlights reel. Just do a highlights reel.
That involves effort.
Then don't do it at all.
Mm. Fuck, that was funny.
So now from there, you're going to jump across to the chesty ledge. That's the ledge that had the chest on it.
Yep. Cleavy.
Yep. I don't know why you said that.
Chesty ledge.
Now what you want to do is go down towards where the torch that you lit earlier is and jump onto the platform which houses the structure where Melinda spawned.
Right. And this time we're going to go right and head back towards the bonfire.
Yeah. So you jump onto the platform, hug the left wall, and before you there is a little drop off back to where the bonfire was.
So now that we're back at the bonfire, we're going to head across that same small bridge we had across the first time.
Yep.
Except this time we are going to fall through the ground below us.
Through the Sleepy Hollows?
Yep. You're going to fall into a room with a number of guys sleeping, except none of them look like Johnny Depp.
No, the Sleepy Hollows don't look anything like Johnny Depp. They've all got their heads too. Maybe they're like an Amber Herb. Hey? Johnny Depp dating Amber Herb? Hey? I read the Who magazine.
So from here, go to the corner of this room.
Oh, light the torch in that room as well.
You've got to make a jump across from the corner of this room to a platform below with two other undeads.
Yep, one of them's holding a torch. Light the torch on
you
that
and
platform.
Your fucking torches. from this platform, there's actually a ladder that leads up to another small room.
Yeah, where you can light a torch.
This room holds a door, which you can't open currently. You need that forgotten key that we mentioned earlier. So here's another one of those places that you need it for.
Yep. So it's quite a versatile key, actually.
Yeah. In this room, you actually get Havel's set.
Yeah, which is cool.
Yeah, so definite nod to Havel from the previous game, which was a crowd favourite. It's actually my partner's favourite character out of Dark Souls 1. She loves him. She
really?
Always calls him Havel.
Havel.
Oh. She's like, oh, don't kill Havel. I like Havel.
He smashes you with the dragon's tooth.
Yeah, she loves him. Anyway, so yeah, this is where you can get Havel's set, which, you know, helps with cosplay and whatnot.
Go back down the ladder, and you cross a small bridge to a square platform with a hole in the middle. There's a torch there to light.
From here, we're going to drop down a small hole and head into, like, this little, I don't know, I've kind of called it a cattle run because it's enclosed by two wooden walls, which sort of direct the path, and into another little room with a hunting dog.
Yep.
And a ladder.
So kill the hunting dog, and before you enter the next room, to the right of the entrance, you'll see some urns. So smash those, and you'll get some rotten pine resin and the dark pyromancy flame.
Now, the dark pyromancy flame is just like the normal pyromancy flame in so much as it's used for casting pyros.
Yep.
But this one increases in power the more hollow you are. So it's useful mostly for PvE, I would say, because in PvP you'd want to enter in with full health, mm-hmm. so you wouldn't want to be hollow. But in this one, it is more powerful than the normal pyro glove if you're fully hollow, but who wants to play the game fully hollow?
Mm.
Like, it kind of seems pointless. So to be perfectly honest, I've done a lot of reading on this one. My personal opinion is, why even bother with it? It's just, you're going to be far better off to spend your fire seeds on the normal pyro glove, because most people are going to want to try and stay human for the majority of the game.
Exactly. The rotten pine resin that you find there also is described as pine that is now poisonous due to going rotten. So it adds 20 poison attack value to the right-hand weapon for 90 seconds, and it also boosts existing poison damage by 30%, which is quite cool.
Nice little extra buff. Yeah.
So in the room after the cattle run, climb up a ladder after killing a hollow in the room. You can also sprint past the hollows, but they climb ladders. So, I mean, I've never really experimented with it, but I wonder how long they follow you for, whether they
get all
bunch up.
Yep. And you'll enter into another level with another ladder. Go up that ladder.
Light the torch. For fuck's sake, ladders. There's just ladders everywhere here. It's Laddersmith Gilligan's, like, his best contract ever.
Maybe. Well, he's got to conjure those ladders from somewhere. Maybe he just steals them from this area.
Oh, yeah, maybe he's got like a portal just, that opens up and just sucks the ladder out of here.
Yeah. So from this level anyway, there's going to be some urns, and that's going to sort of mark the spot where you can drop down to a level below.
Smash the statue on that level and light the torch.
And head across a rope bridge. Now, bear in mind, if you're on this bridge, you're going to get attacked by one of those exploding dudes, and he sort of comes out of the shadows, so he can quite easily catch you off guard.
We'll actually come back to this spot later on. But for now, I head across the bridge, fight another hunting dog. In the middle of that platform, there is a ladder that you can climb up. Light the torch, punch the statue, and open a chest to get some black fire bombs.
Or, as you wrote them in the notes, African-American bombs.
I just wanted to be politically correct.
So head back down the ladder, and facing the ladder, if you go around to the right-hand corner, look down to this sort of ledge that doesn't quite look like you should be able to drop onto it, but you can. And once you're there, you'll be able to follow that ledge around to get a titanite chunk out of an urn.
Yep.
And then turn back and go back to where you fell down and through a hole in some wood, which will lead to another room.
Yep. So inside that room, you'll find an urn. And inside the urn, you'll find the tattered cloth set and heavy boots. That's a pyromancy set.
Yeah, yeah. So this is the set that the pyromancers wear. Nothing much to it. It says it's been enchanted. Basically, it kind of says it looks tattered, but it's been enchanted with pyromancy.
Yeah, but what does that mean in real terms?
Yeah, like, it has some okay fire defense, but that's about it.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
So, just ahead there's a dirt ledge. You want to jump onto that, turn right, and find an area with a steel chest and an ambush from three hollows that are playing possum.
Now, this is where you're going to be able to pick up the second ring of evil eye.
But this is just
the default.
Yeah, the not plus one. The plus zero.
So why?
You already got the better one.
You've already got the better one. Yep.
And that's the one where you get 30 HP when enemies die. You can also light a torch here. Head up a long ladder, light a torch, and get a bandit great axe from a pot behind another ladder leading up.
Yeah, so with this one, it's the exact same description as the normal bandit axe, so there's nothing much extra to say here. We talked about this one, I think, in No Man's Wharf, just talking about how it's used by the Ferocen Knights that have since become sort of bandits when they left their land, and they're now pillaging and selling themselves as sellswords. So go up that ladder that we mentioned earlier that the pot was behind.
Yep, and you went up on one of the highest points, I think, in this area. And from here, you can take a zipline, motherfucker, all the way to the next level. How cool is that? Ziplines rule.
All the way to the next level.
Across the level. I was just excited, all right? I like ziplines. So when you end up at the other end of the zipline, the first thing you notice is that there's a torch you can light.
That's correct. And from there, you can look for a hole in the scaffolding that you've landed on and fall through it, which will bring you to that same level where the three urns were, where you can use them as the marker to drop down to the ledge where the rope bridge is.
That's exactly right.
So head back across the rope bridge.
But instead of climbing up a ladder in the middle of the platform, turn to your right and cross a small wooden bridge where you can fight another hunting dog and light a torch. Then you can climb a ladder and light a torch. You got to remember to light all the torches.
I hate you.
It just annoys him so much. So, from this last torch that you lit, there's another rope bridge where you can cross, and you'll see that actually you're cutting across the top of the previous rope bridge. The platform that you wind up on has a crumbling floor in the middle, so be careful. Circle around the edge to the left, fight a hunting dog, and then head along another short rope bridge. I notice none of this stuff is up to any kind of, like, building standard. There's a torch to light when you get across that rope bridge.
Oh, thanks, thanks. That'll help with the standards for the area, and, you know, proper lighting.
Yeah, proper lighting.
Yep. And you can turn left into a cave with a few undead, and you'll get a chest with the Wicked Eye Great Shield. Now, this Great Shield is a contest winner.
Yep.
And the shield has the exact same effect as the Ring of the Evil Eye, in so much as it allows you to get some HP off enemies that you kill.
Yeah, but it doesn't stack, does it? So if you have the ring plus the shield.
Unfortunately, yeah, you can't wear them both.
It'd be nice if everything stacked in this game.
Yeah.
But it would kind of break it, I think.
They've done it for a reason.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. So head back out of that cave and you can, you'll see a hunting dog below you, which stands before the fog gate, and you can actually range it from here. Jump down to where he's at and light the torch.
Mm-hmm. And break a clay pot and you'll get 20 poison arrows. Now, from here, if you hug the wall on your left and go around, you'll end up in a cave with a number of those poison beetles that we met in Earthen Peak.
Yeah, tall beetles, I call them. They're beetles and they're tall.
Yes. And in that room, you're going to come across one of the weirder things in the game.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck is going on. There's a giant corrosive ant queen.
Mm. Now, this queen, it's just this enormous model. It's non-aggro. You can sit there and attack it all day and it won't do a damn thing to you, except die eventually. It serves little to no purpose. It's called a corrosive ant queen. It sort of exudes this smoke around it. And if you stand in the fog, you'll take very, very slow durability damage.
But it cures poison.
But yeah, if you poison and you walk in it, it'll also cure the poison. I mean,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, but why?
But see, here's the stuff,
but
right?
But why?
But here's the thing, right? Yeah, but why? Why doesn't it move? Why doesn't it do anything? Why doesn't it drop anything? What's the, like...
Well, there was a bit of a contradiction in the guidebook, because the guidebook said, the queen of the giant ant species, native to Jugo.
Oh, that's where Benhart's from.
And then it sort of contradicts itself by saying, being in the gutter suggests that it's an Aldean creation that was discarded. So it's like, was it an Aldean creation, or was it native to Jugo?
Yeah.
What is it?
You messed it up, epic name, bro. It was him, wasn't it?
No.
Didn't he write the guidebook?
He helped.
Oh. We could have helped there.
So, in any case.
There's also some urns. There's four poison mosses in the urns, and it's weird. It's like there's three in one urn and one in another. Why do that? Just put them all.
Keeps on giving.
Put them all in one urn.
So, from here, head back to where you took on the dog, and you'll see a fog door. Fog door. And enter the fog door, and you'll enter into a section that has a ton of ladders leading down. Pretty much opposite the fog door that you entered, though, there's a wall, and you can see that there's a slight discoloring of wood, which if you break, you can walk through.
Yep. So if that wall wasn't so fragile, the entire game would be just a waste of time.
I'm sure you'd be able to figure out a way to climb over some shitty wood scaffold.
No, if anything is more than like 15, 16 centimetres high, I can't get over it.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. Okay, so from here, turn left and you'll get to a bonfire.
Yeah, the central gutter bonfire. Mm-hmm. Also a torch to light as well.
Thanks. Thanks, Church.
You're welcome. Now, go back through the hole you broke and head left and go down the first ladder you run into. Drop down the platform you find yourself on to another platform.
And we're going into an area that becomes, again, quite complicated. There's so many ladders that you can go down. I mean, there's not an awful lot that you can pick up in this area of value that can't be got from going down to the bottom. So don't panic too much. You'll figure it out.
So, head down to the dirt floor.
And from here,
there's some urns you can break to get 20 life gems. That ain't bad.
Yep. And you can also pick up 3 rotten pine resin. But more importantly, you'll find a ladder that leads up to a dirt ledge, which holds the great club in a chest.
A dirt ledge.
Shut up. I know what I said.
We all know what you said. That's the problem. It's an awesome club. It's your favourite, isn't it? You really like the Great Club.
Well, my first character on the PS3 was a strength build, and I was using this for a long time, but I looked into it, and to be honest, I believe the Giant Club is better until you're over 50 strength. So the Great Club only comes into its place after 50 strength, but at that point, it's a beast.
Okay.
Yeah, you can one-hit almost everything.
Awesome.
So, not quite, but yeah.
Head back down the ladder. There's a duo of standing urns, and you can obtain the Hex Dark Fog.
Yeah, now this is the one that has a very fast build-up, and it does a lot of damage, about 15 HP every half a second, up to, I believe, about 1100 HP. From here, you'll find some weird pots sort of blocking a hole in the cave wall.
Yeah, instead of having kind of one hole in the top, there's almost like little tentacles with a hole in the top of each. There's like 5 or 6 holes in the top of it.
Yeah, and sure enough, they have the ability to corrode you if you roll through them or they get too
close.
They
spit out some corrosive stuff. So break them from a distance, head through the hole behind them and drop down to a platform where you can grab a fragrant branch of yore off a corpse.
Yeah, important to note because this is one of the few fragrant branches you'll pick up in the game. So. Yeah.
So turn right and head along a path. You'll notice on your left, lofted to your left, there are some statues that are covered in some like glowy green stuff. Is it magic?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely differentiates them from the statues in the gutter.
Mm-hmm.
It does let you know that you're in a new area, but I wonder if that's all there is to it. They seem to function exactly the same. They spit green poison at you and, you know, they don't seem any more powerful. I think, yeah, I'm guessing it's just to differentiate that you're in a new area.
I suppose, yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, if you know anything about that, send us an email, let us know, but I can't work it out.
So a little bit past those anyway, you'll come across a fog door, enter the fog door, a little further up on the left, a cave mouth, and you'll enter into the Black Gulch Mouth Bonfire. Kind of sounds like an STE, doesn't it?
Yeah, I've got a bad case of the Black Gulch mouth. My crotch keeps itching.
That's what I'm thinking. So, no sort of final boss this week.
Yeah, what's going on? No boss. I mean, we fought the Royal Rat Vanguard, but it hardly seems like enough.
Yeah, well, I mean, if we had a bit more time, I suppose we would have done this area, but I just didn't think we'd fit in the notes. The way you wrote them, there's bloody 3-4 more pages than we normally have.
But we didn't miss a single torch, did we?
I suppose not.
Anyway, you're going away.
Yeah, only for about a week, but that shouldn't disrupt us too much. This is why we've rushed to get this episode out this time now, and I guess we'll record as soon as I get back. So your mission, not if you choose to accept it, because I'm not going to give you a fucking option this time, your mission, while I'm away, is to make sure Betty writes the notes.
I do the dictation. She just writes what I say sometimes. Sometimes she just writes whatever she wants.
Okay, so end of episode wrap-up.
Yep.
Question of last week.
Question of last week. What is the Writhing Ruin? So we didn't get many responses, actually, to that question.
Yeah, I don't know. I reckon, I mean, it was a bit of a hard one, but I don't know. It may just be that everyone agreed with us.
Yeah, well, I'd certainly like to think that.
We did get one message, though, from Zach who said, well, Seath got his wish, didn't he? He may not have got his scales of immortality, but his soul was so powerful its remnants will flow on through each timeline, fucking shit up. It's really badass, actually, is what he said.
Wow.
I like it.
Yeah.
I just thought that was really cool.
On you, Zach.
But because of the lack of responses, I sort of did my own digging a bit, and I found one Reddit comment, which is the only other sort of viable explanation that I thought of. I don't think it's quite as compelling, but they seem to take it to be the name of the lower part of Brightstone Cove, you know, the writhing ruin. It's a ruin and it's filled with spiders. So they're kind of calling the lower Brightstone Cove the writhing ruin. And they even waxed lyrically saying that, you know, it would have been a much cooler name for the whole area rather than Brightstone Cove, Seldora.
Yeah. I mean, I got to say, I don't buy that.
I agree. It fits the name better, but I just don't think it fits all the lore pieces.
Exactly. All the bits of the puzzle that go together suggests that it's a really ancient thing that's come into this realm and has some kind of will of its own.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. But nonetheless, I mean, it's an apt description of the Brightstone Cove or the lower Brightstone Cove, Seldora.
Yeah.
So what's the question this week? Make it a little easier.
I think that we both indicated that this is our least favourite area. You know, I really don't like this area. Not that it's poorly made, just that it just frustrates the fuck out of me. So anyway, I think it's a decent question to ask. What's your least favourite area? What's the worst part of the game for you? I suspect most people will agree with us, but, you know, you might dislike...
Spice it up a little or give us your reason why.
Exactly. So I'd like to know why. And also, you know, I think that's a question that From ought to be asking people, what's the shittiest area of this game and how do we not do that anymore?
Yeah, but as you said, not because it's badly designed. So exactly. You couldn't go by that because they need that despair in their game. It's what makes their games.
Exactly. Yeah, look, I agree. It's about that time when everything has to... And, you know, one of the reviews actually said that we need to, you know, that the only downside of the podcast is we need an ending, like a way to finish it off. It's what we've been saying for some time.
I've grown quite fond of Keep Chugging That
Estus. Keep Chugging That Estus.
But really, guys, thanks for the reviews. I'm not going to be satisfied until I see our name in lights or at least front page of Reddit. So, cheers.
All right. Well, is that what we're doing?
No. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't have anything better. All right. Keep chugging that Estus. What?
The Dark Souls 2 has been a Screaming in Digital production. You can contact us on info@thedarksouls2.com, join the community at facebook.com/thedarksouls2, tweet @thedarksouls2, or leave a comment on the show notes. If you've enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a review on iTunes or spread the word. Our theme tune is The Knights of Darkness by Zero Project.
So now that we're back at the bonfire, make sure you don't cross the streams. Why that's in our notes, I don't know.
Well, because you've stolen it from me, because I could have made a joke out of it, but instead you've hijacked it. And only by hijacking it do you make it redundant. And you make fun of its redundancy by making it redundant. It doesn't make any sense.
You don't make any sense. That's like the point that movie, I'm making.
Back to the Bonfire. It's like Back to the Future.
Except Don't Cross Streams is from Ghostbusters, you fuckwit. I know,
that's the joke.
Except jokes are funny.
You don't know anything about jokes.
Where's the joke in this?
It was all going to come together properly, I promise you. Just like you and that guy you suck off to.
Hey, at least I, you know, suck off guys. You're just limited to Gus's suck off Gus. No, that's terrible. Why'd I say that?
I'm just limited to Gus's.